Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Bills Wire podcast, brought to you by USA Today Sports Media Group. I am not Rob Quinn, who is the usual host of the Bills Wire podcast. I am Kyle Seleggi. I am a contributing writer for Bills Wire. And you're probably wondering, where's Rob? Why are you here? Why isn't Rob hosting? And to that I say, that's kind of rude, but it's a solid question, so I'll answer it. We're testing out a new bit of programming here on Bills Wire, which is why I'm hosting this first episode of this new series, I guess you could call it. But what we're going to do moving forward is whenever we publish a longer article or a more opinionated article, we're going to try to have the author of that piece make a quick 10 to 15 minute podcast just to explain their thoughts a bit more in depth and give a little bit of insight into their thought process when they were writing the article, how they came to these opinions, how they formed these opinions. And we're doing this to try to make it a more interactive experience for you guys, the readers. You know, not only will you be able to read our content, but now you can listen to our opinions as well as read them. And we're always looking to get better here at Bills Wire, so if you have any comments or critiques or ideas on how to make this series better, you can let us know on Twitter, at the Bills Wire, or on Facebook. You can contact us there. We're just at Bills Wire. If you disagree with us, disagree with our opinions, you can let us know there. Or if you just have any ideas as to how to make this new series better, we're all ears. So, like I said, my name is Kyle Seleggi. I'm your host for this first episode of this new series. And in this first episode, we're going to be taking a look at an article that I wrote earlier today, December 16th, called 2018 NFL Draft, Why the Bills Must Trade Up to Select a Franchise Quarterback. Now, this is a discussion that has come up every year over at least the past 10 years. Should the Bills try to trade up to the top of the draft and get the franchise quarterback they've lacked since the mid-1990s when Jim Kelly decided to call it a career? They tried to get that guy in 2004 when they traded up back into the first round to select J.P. Lossman. We know how that turned out. And then they tried to get their franchise quarterback again in 2013 when they actually traded down. But they still selected FSU quarterback E.J. Manuel in the first round. And again, we know how that played out. Not well. So the Bills have had no luck when it comes to drafting quarterbacks over the past number of years. They just have struggled with it. One could argue that they've struggled with everything. That's why they haven't been to the playoffs in 18 years. That's a fairly solid argument. I would not be willing to argue that. Getting back to the point at hand, I feel that the Bills have the perfect opportunity in the 2018 NFL draft to trade up to ideally the first overall pick and land the franchise quarterback that they've needed for so long. All the pieces have aligned for them here. This is the best opportunity they've had to jump up and grab a franchise passer in years. And that's the point I explore in my article. If you haven't read that yet, I suggest that you pause this podcast quickly and just go give it a read. But that's the point that I make in the article, and that's the point that I'm going to be making in this podcast. So we'll start out by looking at the quarterbacks currently on Buffalo's roster. They have Tyrod Taylor, Nathan Peterman, and Joe Webb. One of those quarterbacks, in my opinion, is starting caliber, and that quarterback is Tyrod Taylor. I feel that Tyrod Taylor is undeniably the best quarterback the Bills have had in the drought era. Yes, he has his limitations, doesn't like to take risks all that often, but that doesn't take away from the fact that he's a dynamic player. I mean, from a production standpoint, he's obviously the best quarterback the Bills have had in the past 20 years. And just watching him play, there's very few quarterbacks like him in the league. His arm strength combined with his athleticism, I mean, you rarely see that agility and elusiveness out of a quarterback. It's just, he's an incredible player to watch. Is he an elite quarterback? I wouldn't say that, but is he a reliable quarterback? Most definitely. And he's the best quarterback on the Bills roster right now. But I do feel that it's time for them to move on from him. And that's unfortunate because I really like Tyrod as a player. I think that he's very good. But just with all things considered, he's just no longer a fit for the team. And a main reason as to why he's no longer a fit for the team is because of Coach Sean McDermott and General Manager Brandon Bean. Now, that's not a knock on McDermott and Bean at all, but it's obvious that they want to build a roster with their own players. They quite obviously didn't like the roster they inherited. If I gave you a list of the Bills roster in May when Bean was hired and asked you to name the three most talented players on that roster, you may very well say Marcell Dareus, Sammy Watkins, and Ronald Darby. And they're no longer with the team. They've all been traded. I mean, it's blatantly obvious that McDermott and Bean want to build a roster of their own players. I mean, McDermott has said a couple of times that he doesn't want the best players. He wants the players that fit his system, which is, you know, that's commendable. If he's that confident in his system to the point where he doesn't want the players with the most talent, he wants the players that best fit their roles, that's commendable. But it's just obvious at this point that he's not committed to Tyrod Taylor as the team's starting quarterback moving forward. I think this thought was placed into all of our minds shortly after he was hired, when they asked him if Tyrod was going to be the starter, and he said, let's not get ahead of ourselves. Now, obviously, Tyrod ended up being the starter to start the season. That he was hired before the whole contract fiasco anyway, where they had to restructure his mega contract. So Tyrod eventually was the starter for the 2017 season. But fast forward to Week 10, that awful blowout loss to the New Orleans Saints. Tyrod was benched in the fourth quarter. Rookie Nathan Peterman brought in, a handpicked McDermott guy. He came in the fourth quarter, played solid. I think he played two drives and was solid. But, you know, that's in garbage time of a blowout game that you're losing. I didn't look at that performance of Peterman with that context involved and think to myself, okay, he should be the starter. But apparently McDermott did, as he came out the next Wednesday, just 2 days after telling the media that Tyrod was their starter, and he told everybody, actually, Nathan Peterman's our starter this week against the Chargers. And we all know how that turned out. Peterman played arguably the worst half in NFL history, came out, threw five interceptions, and was eventually benched by Tyrod, who came in, didn't make a game out of it, but he was solid. He played like he usually plays. He was efficient. But yeah, it's just obvious that McDermott isn't committed to Tyrod. I mean, especially after the loss, he was asked if he regretted starting Peterman, and he said, I don't regret the decision, I regret the result. Seemingly not owning up to his mistake of benching a reliable quarterback in favor of a rookie with two drives worth of professional experience. So it's just, like I said, it's just obvious that McDermott and Bean don't view Taylor as the franchise quarterback. You know, and it's safe to assume that they don't have anything against Taylor personally, but they just want to build their roster of guys that they handpick, and that's become obvious over the past few months. So if McDermott and Bean are right and Taylor's not the franchise guy, well then who's the franchise guy? It's not Nathan Peterman. I have not seen enough from Nathan Peterman to be comfortable letting Tyrod go if Peterman's going to be the guy to replace him as the starter. Just looking back at Peterman's in-game experience this year in regular season games, as I said earlier, came in the fourth quarter against New Orleans, looked fine, got the start against Los Angeles, played arguably the worst half of football ever, threw five interceptions before he was eventually replaced by Tyrod again. Then he got the start last week against Indianapolis when Tyrod was inactive with his leg injury. But that game was played in a blizzard. It's totally unfair to analyze anything in that game. But, I mean, he was fine. He was just fine. So, to define Nathan Peterman's... I mean, Nathan Peterman's had a wild rookie season, but have I seen enough from him, from his in-game work, to say he should be starting for the Bills next year? Absolutely not. To me, Peterman's ceiling... absolute ceiling, or even if he exceeds his ceiling, is reliable starter, which is exactly what the Bills have right now in Tyrod Taylor. At his best, I don't think Peterman's going to lose you any games, but Tyrod doesn't lose you any games right now. And I actually think Tyrod will win you more games than Peterman will in his prime. I don't see the point of putting all the stock in this fifth round draft pick and developing him when his ceiling is lower than what you already have at quarterback. That just makes no sense to me whatsoever. And then looking behind Nathan Peterman, the team's third-string quarterback is Joe Webb, who I want as my starting quarterback all day if we play 16 games in the snow. I love the Joe Webb snow offense. I think that that's a great offensive game plan. But Bills don't play 16 games in the snow. They play two or three games max in the snow. So maybe keep him around for the next 10 years. If he wants to play for the next 10 years, keep Joe Webb around for the next 10 years and just have him play on special teams and then have him be an exclusively snow quarterback. But he's not the franchise guy, quite obviously. So it's obvious that the Bills don't have their franchise quarterback or a player that they view as their franchise quarterback on their roster right now. So they obviously have to look to the draft. They have to look to the 2018 NFL draft. And the timing couldn't be better for this. You know, everything considered, with not having a quarterback on their roster, McDermott and Bean liking to pick their own guys to build a roster out of, having this ammunition to move up to the top of the 2018 NFL draft, and then this quarterback class. Like, the pieces have aligned perfectly for the Bills to just trade up, choose their guy that they want to build around, and then get him, and then move into the future with him. Looking at the Bills draft picks in the 2018 draft, they have two first round picks. Of course, they acquired that second pick from Kansas City last year when they traded up to grab Patrick Mahomes. They have two second round picks. They got their second round pick in the Sammy Watkins trade. Then they have a pick in the third, the fourth, and the fifth. And then they have conditional picks in the sixth and the seventh rounds. And the Bills have a fair number of later round selections in the 2019 NFL draft as well that they've acquired through just random trades. The Reggie Ragland trade, of course. They got the they got a fourth rounder in 2019 for Ragland. So they just have a large number of picks over the next 2 years. And they would need to compile a number of these picks in order to move up to the top of the 2018 NFL draft. So the Bills quite obviously have the ammunition to orchestrate a potential trade up. But what would they have to give up in this hypothetical deal? I'm not obviously not a general manager, so I don't know what the Cleveland Browns are probably going to have the first overall pick this year. So I'm not sure what they're asking for, but just to do a potential mock trade here, we'll look at the 2016 NFL draft when the first two picks in the draft were traded, and both teams that acquired the picks used said picks on quarterbacks. So the Titans initially had the number one overall pick in the 2016 draft, and they traded it to the Los Angeles Rams, who went on to select Jared Goff. So in the trade, the Titans sent the number one overall pick in the draft, their fourth round selection, and their sixth round selection to the Rams in exchange for Los Angeles's first round pick, their 2 second round picks, and their third round pick. And the Titans also got the Rams' first and third round picks in 2017. So now we'll look at what the Cleveland Browns, the team who the Bills would probably be trading with for the number one overall pick in the 2018 draft, at what they got in 2016 for the second overall pick. The Eagles sent 5 picks to the Browns, the number 8 overall pick, a third round pick, and a fourth round pick in the 2016 draft, and then a first round pick in 2017 and a second round pick in 2018. So what would the Bills have to give up in a potential trade up this year? I don't know. Obviously, the higher of their first round picks this year, potentially even both first round picks this year. They might be able to get away with just sending one first round pick this year, their 2 seconds, and then a first next year plus more. It's not cheap to trade up. It's really not. But the Bills do have the ammunition to trade up if they want to, and I really think that they have to this year just because there's really not going to be. I really don't think that they're going to have another opportunity like this in the near future, just where they have the need for the franchise quarterback. There are so many talented quarterbacks available at the top of the draft, and they have the picks necessary to move up. As I said earlier, really all the pieces have lined up perfectly for them here. They have the opportunity to do it. They need a player to build around. I mean, and McDermott and Bean can hand choose whoever they want, which brings me to my next point of who would the Bills get. Would they want Josh Rosen? Would they want Sam Darnold? Even Baker Mayfield? Lamar Jackson? I don't know. But that's the beauty of this, is if they trade up to the top of the draft, they can decide. They can identify who they want. McDermott and Bean can identify who they feel is good enough to build an entire franchise around. And they can handpick him as, which is becoming a very common term here in this podcast, but they can handpick him and make him the face of the franchise. So to wrap it up, the Bills need a franchise quarterback because they don't view Tyrod as that guy. They don't have a franchise quarterback on their roster currently. in my opinion. And they have the capital needed to move up this year. And as I've said, they won't have another opportunity like this for a long time. I mean, because after this year, the picks are gone. They've used the picks. And yes, they can fill holes with those picks because everyone knows they have a lot of holes on their roster. They need cornerback help. They need linebackers. Their linebackers are aging. They need defensive line help. After Kyle Williams retires, they're going to have essentially no one at defensive tackle. It's very likely that Kyle Williams will retire after this season. So I understand the argument of hold on to those picks and, you know, fill some of your other holes. But how much are you really going to accomplish if you have a stopgap at the most important position year after year? So while I could see them wanting to hold on to those picks and fill other holes, I just don't think they're going to have another opportunity like this where they have the picks necessary to trade up and select whoever they want at the quarterback position, whoever they think they can build their franchise around. I mean, that would be big for McDermott and Bean, too. Their second year to identify their franchise quarterback, and then that's who they can move forward with. I'm sure that they want a franchise quarterback as much as Buffalo fans do. So that'll wrap up this first episode of this new series here on Bills Wire. I hope you liked it. I hope you liked the article. I hope you liked the podcast. As I said earlier, if you have any critiques or any ideas on how to make this better, you can contact us at the Bills Wire on Twitter or on Facebook at Bills Wire. You can tweet at me at Kyle Selagi. And make sure that you subscribe to this podcast on iTunes. You can also listen to it on Audio Boom. Make sure you leave a 5-star review on iTunes because we are 5-star quality, quite obviously. So yeah, I think that'll wrap it up. As always, thank you for listening, and go Bills!